Welcome to the Broadcast Dialogue Podcast, the show all about the media industry in Canada.
Welcome to Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. I'm Sean Smith. Zach Tsang has been described as a radio prodigy. The story goes, and it's accurate, that he began broadcasting at 14 over the internet from his bedroom in New Jersey. And in a short time, he amassed such a following that the tour buses would start pulling up outside the house, and the likes of Selena Gomez and Ariana Grande would pop into his room to do interviews. Now, about 5 years ago, he came into my orbit when our team at Momentum was asked to create the launch materials and marketing for his national radio show. And now he's heard on almost 100 stations across North America. Zach really is reinventing CHR Nights and the weekly countdown concept. It's not just counting down the records part. It's his fresh approach to what a radio personality should be in this day and age. Authentic, passionate, social driven. Perfectly in tune with his audience. And why shouldn't he be? He's 25 and represents the next generation of radio listeners. And he's here right now. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Hello. I'm doing great. I'm so glad that you're hosting a podcast. That makes me happy.
Oh, you know how to blow smoke.
Well, if I really wanted to blow smoke up your very svelte tuchus, I would bring up the fact that you were losing weight dramatically in such a beautiful way. But like, we don't want to draw attention to that because you're handsome regardless.
No, we certainly don't. Oh, bless your sweet heart. Hey, look, if it's okay with you, I want to talk countdown.
Yeah, dude. I mean, this is the first opportunity I'm having to really talk about the countdown that's not me doing the countdown, or that's not like a meeting, like a phone call or something. So I would love to get into the countdown in depth because I think the countdown has a huge place in radio, but also a huge place in our world. So yeah, let's do it.
Right. Well, let's get into that because the concept really has come out of your head. I'm wondering, you know, the way the world is unfolding right now with a lot of this sort of me first political stuff, the idea of a worldwide countdown, is this sort of like a subtle reaction to that?
I think it's not a reaction to the me first, but I think it's an understanding of what the next generation, not just of America, not just of Canada, but what the next generation of our world is actually looking for and what they want. And with the internet, everybody is more connected now than ever. So really, we have borders just in theory almost. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could be an American, I could be talking to somebody in Egypt, and somebody in Egypt could be talking to somebody in Korea, and somebody in Korea could be talking to somebody in China, somebody in China could be talking to somebody in Germany. So borders, that's kind of just like, I don't want to say like an old man thing, but it kind of is, because the world is now more connected than ever. So on one side, yeah, you look at like the political climate, whether it's tariffs or the G7 nonsense that Donald Trump causes. And yeah, on that side, obviously, we look kind of divided. But he doesn't speak for the next generation of our world at all. And I've gotten to really know a lot of people who are in my generation and younger, who are from all different parts of this planet. And a big eye-opener for me has been two things. The one thing has been BTS. They're a Korean pop boy group. And these guys, I mean, all their songs are in Korean, but they have a way of understanding the struggle that is growing up in our world today. So the fact that these, you know, guys from Korea can relate to so many girls and so many people all over this planet, young and old, the music defies any sort of border. Music is such a universal language, and I think BTS really embodies that on a whole new level. I'm playing BTS Fake Love every night on the radio here in the States, and you want to know something? I've gotten more messages on that song than any other record I've ever played because people want to know what it is, and people at first think they're hearing something wrong, but no, you're hearing Korean lyrics. Just give it a Google, you know, and understand what those lyrics are and what they represent. And obviously people are attracted to the beat of music and the melodies that, you know, are more than just lyrics. So I think BTS opened my eyes to a global world and a real understanding that the next generation of our world wants it to be global. And then can I tell you part two that has opened my eyes into as to why music is so freaking universal, man. I met somebody on Tinder a few weeks ago, and they're here in the States learning English. They're from Colombia. They're from Bogota. And I know I can understand Spanish very well, but I can't speak it. But he's here learning English, so he's still figuring it all out. We've hung out for days now, and we would just sit and listen to music for 6-7 hours straight. And we would communicate, we'd talk about it all, but this understanding and this feeling that, you know, two people from different parts of the planet speaking two completely different languages can come together and really be centered around music, that's special. And that was like, it started with BTS, very heavily in my life, but very much in my professional life. And then now I have this in my personal life where I'm dating somebody who speaks Spanish. They don't speak English, but yet the way we connect, the way we understand each other, the way we communicate, it's so much more than just the language. Music is so much more. It's like, it's a pulse. Do you know what I mean? Like that beat is a pulse. Whether that beat could be slow or fast, it's a pulse, and you really can latch onto it and connect to it. And you don't need to speak the same language to understand that.
Mm-hmm. And you can turn off the politics and turn on the music, baby.
Oh, yeah. By the way, you know, going back to our world wanting to be, our next generation of our world wanting to be a global world, you know, that's something that the person I'm currently seeing wants too. And they're from Colombia. You know, like that's all they want. They want to see a world that works together for each other, not a world that is separate. And definitely not equal.
Well, obviously somebody in Canada agrees with you on that, because the concept of the show was partially born in Canada too. And that somebody is Paul Kay from Rogers, right?
Yeah, he's the best ever.
Inside the thinking and the simpatico that exists between you and Paul?
I mean, I understand Paul Kay because he's adventurous. He pushes the limits and he rethinks radio from a content first perspective. He understands talent better than any person I've talked to in this industry ever. He's not a program director. He's an audience advocate, number one. And number two, he's a talent and content advocate. That's how he, you know, sets the tone for everything that he does. So he understands what I do. He understands this idea that my generation and Generation Z are super connected. You know, we are very much, we are more the same than we are different. And the one thing I applaud Paul for, because what we're doing with the Worldwide Countdown, and it is a slow build, and I told Julie Adams too, my goal is to build a community of people who get together every weekend and just download on the week together, listen to the best music from all over the world, and really just connect on things that are life and love and laugh and music. It's like you want it to be a reality, but at the same time, you want it to be an escape. If that makes any sense. And I think music allows us to do that in a very big way. So yeah, we're talking about life, but we're not talking about politics, but we are talking about, you know, culture. Culture is culture. People in Colombia know Ariana Grande. People in Germany know Ariana Grande. People in freaking Spain or in Canada. I mean, everywhere. You know, there's, again, I'll keep going back to the fact that we are all way more similar than we are different.
Well, that's reflected in the team behind the show, because we have you, a Hollywood-based American guy. We've got Paul, who's a Canadian-based British guy. We've got a host of Canadian stations that are on board with the countdown.
Yes.
And more to come around the world. So,
and that's the cool thing we want to do.
It truly is bathed in internationality, doesn't it?
Yes, but that's what's going to make the show so special. And that's what makes the show really a community. So the goal for the show is to pick up radio stations all over the world and then have different correspondents from different parts of the globe contributing every week, whether it's highlighting music from their region or highlighting, you know, discussions and stories coming out of their region. I want everybody to be connected. Every weekend, it's a chance for us all to download and take a break. It's a chance for us all to take a break from the week and really get an understanding of this... I'm saying this while I'm staring at a globe, dude, because I keep a little globe on my desk just to understand, like, you know, the world is big, obviously, but at the same time, it is so small. So I think building a community of people who understand that music can really bring us together. But when we highlight different regions of our globe, we're also going to be educating people at the same time, if that makes any sense. You know, if we have somebody from Egypt checking in, or Dubai checking in, or Germany checking in every week, it's going to open a lot of people's minds and a lot of people's eyes to the fact that, like, yeah, like, this guy's from Egypt, but you know what? They care about the Drake and Pusha T beef. You know, they care about the Kanye West album. But you know what's coming out of Egypt this week? This little kid who's, you know, 16 years old making beats out of his basement. And that's a hot record that we're going to put on the radio. So it's a global community, but it's a global community around culture and around music. Nothing more, nothing less.
So it's a countdown. And you're reinventing the countdown in a lot of ways, both on a geographical perspective, but also I think for a guy who's 25 years old, who's smack dab in the CHR demo, you're really reinventing it from within the next generation of radio listeners. Talk to me about that. What do we old guys in the business need to understand about people who are 25?
We know a lot more than you think. We are way more connected than ever before. Yeah. And, you know, we don't want fake. We don't want nonsense. We want authenticity. We want realness. We want there to be a pulse and a brain and a heart behind everything that's done, because we understand our value as individuals. You know, granted, a lot of times, like, here's the deal. We understand our value as individuals as it relates to, you know, pick and choosing the relationships we choose to form. Does that make sense? Right? Like, we can't, we as a consumer, as an audience member, we can't be, you know, best friends with everybody. We can't follow everybody. So we want to make sure that we're picking and choosing the right people to invest our time and energy to. Because you got to think about it. You know, people in my generation and younger, they use their phones more than anything else, obviously. It is such an intimate device, besides the fact that it holds all your text messages and your calls. It's, you hold it so close to your freaking face. It holds all your photos, whether they be clothed or nude. So, you know, when you're following somebody on Instagram or Twitter, you don't take naked photos?
No, nobody wants to see that. But
I don't know. You're looking stealth, bro. But it's a personal thing. It's a personal object. So when you're holding somebody's, when you're holding your phone close to your face, right, and you're looking at somebody's feed on Twitter or on Instagram and it's all visual, that's a very personal thing. It's almost like having a conversation with somebody. So you want to do that with the person you feel the most connected to, the most related to, and you want to know you're doing it with somebody who you understand but also understands you. So I think we're authentic people. We don't want nonsense. And I think you see things like Logan Paul or Jake Paul out there. You know, granted, they're dumb kids. They're idiot, crazy people. But you know what? They're authentic. Like, they were being real to them and it works, you know?
Well, you're talking to us today on the Broadcast Dialogue podcast. So you're talking to industry people for the most part. And you're probably getting into the ears of some talent, some young talent across the universe here. Can you sort of... I would think a lot of young talent today is looking for a role model and looking for some guidance. And they may or may not be getting it depending on where they're working and the market and so on. What does it take in your mind to be a successful talent, young in the business today? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Give it your all. Invest everything you have, every fiber of your being. I made a commitment to myself like 9 years ago. And I said, I'm going to share every part of my life on the radio. I also didn't have many friends growing up. So I found, just like a lot of people find a relationship in radio, I found a relationship with the microphone that's connected to those speakers because I had nobody else. And I made a commitment to myself to give everything I have. And I don't mean that to sound like a crazy person because I want to live my life and be a normal person. But I mean, there's no boundaries. Authenticity and realness, that's what I'm about. I want to be honest. I want to tap into my life for content and for understanding, because when you do that, that's how you really connect with people on a grand scale. And I'll keep going back to the fact that we are all way more the same than we are different, right? You know, if I open myself up and I open myself up on the radio, I know that there's people out there that are going to understand and relate to what I'm talking about. And I know that there's funny in what I go through. I know there's sadness. I know there's happiness. There's laugh and there's love, you know, like it's the roller coaster of life. So I would say to somebody who is young in the business, give it everything you have. And I think you can do that in a couple different ways. And I started early on in my life understanding that I'm going to give both. I'm going to be in the radio studio for as many hours as I needed to and as many hours as I could actually be there. And I was going to give myself personally. I was going to be a complete and total open book. So you got to do both, I think, to be a real personality that's more than just a jock. And it goes back to what people want today. They want authenticity. You know, that's like at the root of any great show is realness. and a person.
You seem to have that innate ability to connect with people, whether they're, you know, just ordinary folk on the telephone or they're A-list celebrities who make bazillions of dollars a year.
My grandma used to call me the mayor. I used to go around her. She lived in an old people's home, and I used to go around and I meet everybody. And I was like 5, 6, 7. I did it for years, and I loved it. That goes back to I thank you so much for saying that. Whether it's somebody on the phone or it's a celebrity in the studio, I strive to make them feel comfortable, but I'm just myself in that moment. I'm not, I don't turn anything on. Like, that's the thing too, across the board in this whole show, I don't turn anything on. Like, maybe there's a little pep in my voice, but beyond that, I am who I am.
I'm gonna throw a dated Canadian reference at you. You're the king of Kensington. Google it.
I will right now.
So what about local radio talent when they're faced with an Ariana Grande or a Selena Gomez? What are the do's and don'ts when you get face to face with somebody of that fame?
If you have an interview with them, you need to educate yourself. Have an understanding of who they are, what they've done, where they want to go, and why they're there. If you're educated on your interview subject, that's like 60 or 70% of the battle, right? But a lot of people don't do it ever. And I always started, back when I was doing a radio show from my bedroom, I would only do interviews on the phone, but they would last around 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And that's how I started, building up my skills and ability. And then I was lucky to actually start having people in the studio. And then from there, I made friends. So I got a chance to watch my friends, like Ariana Grande, do all these promo tours. I would sit behind a screen while she was doing international interviews or, you know, domestic radio interviews just for a promo cycle. And I would just, I hear these people not know who they're talking to. And you can't expect somebody to feel comfortable or to open up to you if you don't even know. So you really got to understand who you're speaking to and just do research. It's not that hard of a job to do research. But beyond that, know your bounds. Know that you are talking to another human being. Know that that person across from you feels like you, loves like you, hurts like you. Dude, they bleed like you. And words matter. So when you want to go for a gotcha question, know that that's going to be with that artist all day, all week, all month. Sometimes they last forever. And you know what? They're never going to pay off in the long run because that artist is going to remember it for the rest of their lives because words matter. You gotta also, I think, you know, my big note is always make people comfortable. But I think all of what I've said here leads up to them being comfortable. You know, don't be outrageous. Don't be that guy who needs to ask that question because you think it's going to go viral. No, you can't lead an interview with the intention of going viral because then it's just going to be a mess. And it might end up going viral for the wrong reasons. Honestly, I've watched that happen too a ton of times. So in a nutshell, know who you're talking to, understand that your words matter and they're the people you're talking to, the Selena Gomez's and Ariana and Justin's of the world, they bleed and feel just like you and I. And three, if you're going for the gotcha, you're going to walk away with your tail between your legs and you're never going to get a second shot at doing an interview ever again. Seriously.
Develop that rapport that's genuine, you're likely to get an exclusive just by being approachable.
Dude, we've made
more. Never mind the gotcha.
We've made so many every headline we've made, we don't go out to seek it. It just naturally happens. Because once you really get somebody to open up and you open up and they feel comfortable and, you know, we have a couch in our studio, so when they're sitting crisscross applesauce, just chilling, they lose the fact that they're in an interview. And once you do that, you can really, that's when you can really get what the listener wants. Do you get what I'm saying? But the motives need to be right. Because when the motives aren't pure, I don't know. The universe has a way of just nipping it in the butt.
Can you share a couple of your favorite moments that just sort of tumbled out of that kind of approach?
So many. Because I won't do an interview if I don't get to go at it this way. Alessia Cara was just here. She talked all about her Grammy drama. You know, the people didn't want her to win a Grammy, even though she won. They didn't feel like she was the right person. And it was attached to feminism. And this last Grammys didn't have many females being represented. And she was one of the only ones, if not the only one, who won that night on TV. So she really opened up in a deep way about that. But she opened up about her personal struggles, her depression, her therapy, and the fact that she's writing songs in bathtubs. Or I don't know. Like that was just that. That's one that sticks with me. But there's been so many. It's hard to think. I hate when I don't have these answers like ready to go, because I go in my head. It's like, imagine a file cabinet with every different. There's a folder for every celebrity that's come on, and some have come on. Right. Five times. Selena Gomez has been on 9 times. Ariana's been on like 7. So I'm thinking any moment you see that's gone viral has come out of this. So Justin Bieber talking about religion, that came out of right. this, you know, and that's the only time Justin Bieber has ever been on the record talking about the role religion plays in his life, or him talking about his nude photos, or Selena Gomez opening up about therapy and her life and her struggle. Dude, there's so much. It's hard for me to really give you concrete, but if I went through it, I'd be able to pinpoint more. But Justin Bieber is a big one. Justin Bieber was an interesting person to interview. And when he first came in, he had canceled on the show 3 times leading up to it. Mm. And he tweeted about coming on too, and he still canceled. And I remember the first thing I did when he walked in was I gave him the middle finger. You know, I was like, you know, screw you, man. Like, what's wrong with you? And he had called me the night before, and he had, you know, he got emotional with me and opened up as to why he ended up canceling and stuff. But I right. still gave him the middle finger. And I showed him a photo of he and I back in 2010. Probably earlier, 2008 or 2009. It was the first radio concert I've ever been to, but it was also the first radio concert that Justin Bieber ever played at. And he started to cry. Yeah, it was really beautiful. It was really nice. And that was just one of the moments attached to, you know, making somebody feel comfortable and known and safe and letting them understand that, like, by the way, Justin Bieber felt so comfortable in that interview that he was only supposed to stay for 20 minutes. He stayed for 2 hours. He cursed casually on the live radio. He played soccer with a homeless person and all of his fans out front. And he had a couple shots. Like, He hung around. It was really special. Right. Really, really special.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And by the way, like, hey, look, he'll come back on anytime. Like, you know, he won't do a lot of interviews ever, and he doesn't need to. But we're the one place that he will go. So that's pretty cool.
Mm. Are you at the point in your career where the interviews come to you, or do you still have to go out there and pitch?
It's a combination. Like, I pitched the other day for Julia Michaels and DNCE. But at this point, it's like more putting it on their people's radar that we want to have them in. And we're really lucky. Like, our interviews resonate with people, and they resonate with artists. Like, Alessia came in here the other day, and we were just talking about music consumption, and she admitted that she watches every one of our interviews, and she went into why she loves them and why they matter to her. You know, Diplo comes on the show only after watching Justin Bieber's interview. Or, you know, Niall Horan comes in only after hearing Zayn call us, and Zayn feels so comfortable and open. It's all connected. We still pitch, like, the 13 Reasons Why kids. Dude, they're like getting in touch with the freaking president. No. Actually, I was able to get in touch with the White House easier than I can get in touch with Dylan Minnette. It's nutso.
Wow.
But yeah, so we pitch for them. But on the music side, people know us, they get us. But a lot of the times, like, when the artist gets in here, they've watched our stuff before. So it's we're very lucky in a sense that we create content here that resonates with, you know, a lot of different people, whether they be famous musicians or some TV people or just people like you and I, normal human beings, just wanting to learn more about music.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you wouldn't classify yourself this way, but I know you to be a perfectionist. So the worldwide countdown isn't even really started yet. I know in your head. What do you have in store for the programmers and the listeners with regard to
global
Zach saying worldwide countdown?
Global.
Talk to me, baby.
Community. And so really what I want to do is I want to have different people from all over the world checking in every week and supplying content and creating conversation. I want it to be more than just me and a couple callers. I want it to be very much representative of what our world is today and what we want it to be, all centered around music. So, I mean, that global correspondence is just one of the pieces. I want to start doing challenges every week where we send out different missions for people all over the world to kind of carry out. And all those missions are going to be attached to people feeling good and also, you know, people laughing and, you know, kind of I don't want to give away too much on the mission part of it, because I want everyone to be very unique and everyone to have a story attached to it. But it goes back to community, right? I think that's the most important thing. So I want to have global correspondents. I want to be able to, you know, create different social missions that everybody who's a part of the Worldwide Countdown community could be a part of. But I also want to start including more celebrities. I want them to host the countdown with me. Like, I would love for Shawn Mendes to come in and, like, host the top 10 songs for the week, you know, or even host the entire thing. I want to utilize a lot more celebrity. But also, like, you want it to be a balance, right? You don't want there to be too many celebrities and too little, you know, realistic and, you know, realistic representation of human beings that aren't musicians. So I want it to be a little bit of a give and take. But we're going to get some more celebrities in there. But I think the first part for us is to make this into a global thing and to highlight more musicians. And I want the musicians that we're highlighting to be from anywhere. And they don't need to be signed by major labels. Like, send us music. Again, it's a community. I tell you what I like. You tell me what you like. And that's what's going to build this countdown every week. We're all in this together.
So you're looking for music. You're looking for correspondence. What is Zach Sang's method of discovery? How do people get with you?
Social media, on anything. You can call me. I'm always in the studio. I mean, it's crazy. 888-515-ZACK. I'm always around. People call me at 7:30 in the morning, and they're surprised when I answer. They like call just to test if anybody's here, and then I answer, and they freak out. I always answer.
Dude, that's the number I called. Yeah, that's the number I called. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, my office number is also my radio number. but yeah, you
it's
call
also
me.
Also, your Tinder number too.
That's right. A lot what? Of dirty voicemails. No, not really. But you can call me whenever you want, or you can reach out to me on any form of social media. Zach Sang One on Twitter. Zach Sang on Instagram. If people still email, you can email me too. Zsang@westwoodone.com. Hit me up on YouTube. Dude, it's the internet. Google my name and you'll find a way to get in touch with me. I'm a very accessible person. There are no layers between me and anybody else. Like, literally zero. So, call
accessible
me.
And successful. Okay. Listen.
Accessible, yes.
There's every programmer in the country is listening right now.
Great. No pressure.
Go. Worldwide Countdown.
Dude, take the Worldwide Countdown, because you're going to want to be a part of this movement. You're going to want to be a part of this idea and this understanding that music really brings people together and it doesn't divide us. And in a time where our world, yes, is divided, our politicians may be divided, but the next generation of our world is not. They want to connect with one another and they want to connect with each other over common ground. And I think we owe it to the people who listen to our radio stations, whether they be in Canada or in the States or in Germany or the UK, to represent everything, to represent what our key demos are going through all over the world. I really think that this is more than just a show. This is a community. This is a movement. This is something that, regardless, will come to fruition and become reality. You know, maybe it'll be 10 years, 15 years, 30 years, 50 years, whatever. We're going to live in a more global world as our time progresses. I promise you. And I think the Worldwide Countdown is just a part of what that movement is and what it could be. And this understanding that we are all way more the same than we will ever be different. And if we can come together and talk about what's going on in our different countries and connect over great music every weekend, come on. Like, that's, I don't know, if I was a program director, I would want to be a part of that. Because it's more than just getting great records and compelling content out to my listeners. It's, you're playing a much larger role in the development of the next generation of our world. Does that make sense? Because
Zach Sang. Zach Sang, represent, brother.
Dude, I even here in the States, I understand the responsibility that's attached to this microphone that I'm talking into right now. I get it. It's a responsibility that, yeah, we need to make our audience laugh. We need to relate to them. We need to connect with them. We need to give them great content. But you know what? We need to reflect them. We need to be them. And we need to be them in the now, but also where they're going. Because then we're shaping so much more than just 1 hour block of programming or just a couple songs. We're shaping the way the next generation develops and understands the rest of this world. I don't know. I think it's special. It's really, really special. So, I mean, hey, you can want to do whatever you want to do on the weekends and that's cool. But know that with the Worldwide Countdown, you're not just getting great content and A-list interviews and exclusives, but you're also, you know, shaping our culture and our global humanity for the better. And you're educating people.
Zach.
Yeah.
You aced the audition, bro.
Dude, I'm very passionate about it because Sean, I saw it here in the States. Like when one of my co-hosts was openly gay on the air for a long time. And like I said earlier, I live my life very open and honestly, but the one thing I don't do is I don't tell, I won't say the gender of the person I'm dating as of yet. And right. I do that for a couple different reasons. And the one major reason is I want people to understand that love is love. I want people to understand that what I go through, what somebody goes through with a guy or with a girl or dating a plant, it's all the same, man. Love is love. The trials and tribulations of a heterosexual couple and a homosexual couple and a pansexual couple or a trans couple, dude, it's all the freaking same. So, we have a responsibility as, pillars in our community to shine a very bright light on what the future needs to look like and what our community wants the future to be. So I don't know. We're more than just a radio show. We're a part of the community, global community and local community.
And therein is the answer to how do you reinvent the countdown? Just like that, my friend. Zach Sang, thanks for joining us today. And
thanks for letting me ramble.
All the best with your worldwide domination.
Hey, can't do it without you guys. And I thank Paul K. I thank Julie Adams. I thank every PD out there who has taken a chance on the worldwide countdown. It means so much. And I promise you every week we're going to be churning out a quality countdown that I promise you will play a much larger role in this world than we all could really think right now. I know it. I feel it. I see it. I see it online. So we're on our way. So please be a part of this journey because it's going to be a journey it's a special one. And I think it's going to be a journey that's going to have lasting effects, like way after we're all gone.
Zach Sang is host of the Westwood One nightly 7 to midnight CHR radio show, The Zach Sang Show, as well as Momentum Media Network's Zach Sang Worldwide Countdown. He joined us from Los Angeles. I'm Sean Smith.
Thanks for listening to Broadcast Dialogue. For more information about the podcast or to receive exclusive access to our weekly briefing about the Canadian media industry, visit us at broadcastdialogue.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook, connect with us on LinkedIn, and follow us on Twitter and SoundCloud.